Just about 2 weeks ago, I was in Sweden. Just went there for 2 days after doing Belgium and Holland and Norway. And 2 days in Sweden, and my friends there have a cowboy show, country and western music. And so you had to wear the hat and all the things. And I learned this new word, yeehaw. Yeehaw. I've got to tell you this FGB joke. Well, two FGB members. Oh, come on. Give me an encouraging smile. Come on. Okay. Two FGB members, and one of them is a Kiwi. Woo-hoo! And so they're driving in England somewhere, you know, just enjoying that conference. Just after the conference, the undulating hills kind of thing, the valleys and a little bit of the hills, and just talking, enjoying the conference. The Kiwi man has just come back from Israel just before that. So he was telling all about his Israel experiences. And the Englishman was just driving away, you know, just listening. And suddenly, out of the valley, runs ahead an overgrown rabbit, and unfortunately gets knocked over. And they're so shocked because they were having such a nice day, and now one of God's creation is dead on there. I mean, for me, I would have made rabbit stew, you know, or tandoori rabbit. Whoa! Tandoori rabbit, even better. But anyway, so the Englishman goes out and says, you know something, we've been speaking about faith and we are full gospel people. Yeah. And so let's pray. So he did his rabba rabba ray raboro saba rabba si, but nothing happened. And then he said to the Kiwi man, you give it a go. So the Kiwi man went back to his Bible there. He picked out a small bottle and he put his he put something on his hands and fingers, and he went there and he prayed, and suddenly this hare got up, smiled at both of them, ran 10 meters across the road and gave them a wave, ran another 10 meters, turned around, gave them a wave again. These two guys were absolutely stunned. And then ran another 10 meters and then give them a wave, going up towards the hill. Every 10 meters, it ran, it gave them a wave. Right on top of the hill, it gave them another wave. Just before it went over the hill, one final wave. The Englishman was so surprised. He said, what's in that bottle? The Kiwi man said, hair restorer with permanent wave. God is so good. Hallelujah. A survey was taken with 95-year-old people only involved in the survey. And they were asked one question. If you could live your life over again, what changes would you make? If you could live your life over again, what changes would you make? These are the four common answers that they had in every one of those 95-year-old people. Number one, I wish I had spent more time to enjoy, to laugh, to make others happy. Not in the right order, but I'm just giving it four of you. Number one, I wish I spent more time laughing. Enjoying the spirit of gladness, the spirit of joy. You think this is something you wait for tonight? I know what's going to happen. Number two, I wish I had done something more significant with my life. Now, I'm not against 95-year-old people, but they're almost finished their innings. I'm saying it in a nice way. So they've got the experience, and that we need to learn something, glean something from this wisdom, from this survey. I wish I had done something significant, something of meaning, something of value. Wow. Number three, I wish I didn't spend so much time working so hard, spending 40 years just to get this golden watch. Number four, I wish I had spent some quality time with my family. I wish I had spent more time with a positive influence on the people who matter the most. Wow. Wow. And I think sometimes that we spend so much time concerned about our lives, our work, our career. I know those things are important. Sometimes we think about our pension plans and our cats and our dogs. It breaks my heart to know that in Melbourne, there's more money in one day spent on cat food than on giving to the church the whole month. It breaks my heart. I am now a full-time missionary. They say I'm a missionary to Australia, but I'm a missionary to nations. I chose to come to Australia because God spoke to me very clearly 18 years ago, 19 years ago. And he says, as John the Baptist was the forerunner to Jesus, you are the forerunner to revival in Australia. And I'm just digging rocks at the moment. There are more people in one football stadium, MCG, Melbourne Cricket Ground, one football stadium, than all the people that go to church on a Sunday. There are more people in the summertime going to the beach in one day than all the people that go to church on a Sunday. It breaks my heart. But I believe, friends, I believe with all my heart that this weekend something changes. I used to say, and I did quite a bit of research on the great Southland of the Holy Spirit, and only recently I found out that it wasn't concerning Australia. It says great Southland of the Holy Spirit from Hebrides downwards. And that word was given in 1606 on the 14th of May, Pentecost Sunday. And just 24 years ago on Pentecost Sunday, 14th of May, the Spirit of God came upon me, changed my life. I've just written my book, which is almost complete. I wanted it to be complete before this convention, but unfortunately, it's called From Rogue to Revivalist. Because I really believe that God's going to use you and me. This is not about a one-man show anymore. Amen. Now it's about equipping the body of Christ. Amen. To go and complete the job. You see, the healing phase, God showed me there are three phases that's going to happen. One is the healing phase, where, because I'm traveling the world, so is Seth right now, and 80% of the church is sick. 80%, friends, sick in some form. Body, inner healing, mental, finances, home, they're sick in some form. 80%, and you call us the victorious ones? Come on. 80%. But that's why God's raised men and women to do that healing ministry. But after that, it's going to overlap, because as the 80% get healed, they are going to be trained in what I would call the body of Christ ministry. That's when the body of Christ is equipped to go and do what Jesus said will do. You will do greater things than these. Okay, I'll speak to this side, because this side seems to be enthusiastic, because Seth's anointing is flying right through there. This side needs a little bit of zzzz. Hey, that's better. Back row, a bit of zzzz. If not, I'll just press that button. I've got laughing gas at the back there. Second phase is the body of Christ ministry. There, everybody does the job. And then only the last one is the great white harvest. Where everybody who's been healed, set, delivered. You see, you and I, we know Jesus as our Savior. But we haven't experienced Him as our healer. We are experiencing Him now. But as we learn and experience it, then we can go out and touch others. Because at the moment, as we teach healing schools all over, the one thing people are, a few things people are afraid of is this. What happens if nothing happens? What happens if I go and pray and nothing happens? Number two, what happens if they laugh at me? What happens if I'm ridiculed? Number three, what happens if they think, who are you? Who do you think you are, Benny Hinn? I don't know why I blow on people. I just don't know why. It's better than slapping them. I was in Kyabram some time ago, and I didn't know this, but the pastor had invited me to preach on Saturday and Sunday, Saturday morning breakfast and Saturday night healing and stuff like that. But on the Friday, he had gone to the doctors, and they found some areas above his kidneys, very, very dense when they did the scan. I went there Saturday, Sunday, not knowing anything. He was the last guy I prayed for. Pastor Noel, by the way, his name is. And I blew into his stomach. Fell down. I thought, my curry is powerful. My curry stuff is powerful, you know. It's pretty hot. Anyway, on Monday, he gets a call. Monday, he goes back for another scan. On Tuesday, it seems the doctor called him himself. Now he panics because now the doctor himself has called him. He goes in. The doctor says, I can't understand this. This is Friday's scan, and this is the next scan on Monday. This scan shows two things above your kidneys. This scan shows completely clear. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I prayed for one man today. I was about to blow in his stomach, and I said, what flavor do you want? We can make requests, you know, because Jesus says, I will give you the desires of your heart. Oh, this is exciting. Amen, amen, amen. Oh, mighty God. Hallelujah. I don't know how long I'm going to preach for because I felt I heard God speak to me. And so, Seth, I want to tell you that at any time you can step forward and you can take over because it's going to be a tag team kind of thing. So I'll preach and show one or two things, but as soon as the anointing kind of, you know, the tag team in wrestling, some of you watch the tag team, and we're going to just do this interchange thing. Because you see, what started must carry on until God zaps us so powerfully that we cannot go back into our comfort zone. We cannot. We can't afford to go back into some sort of a complacency, some sort of a behind the curtain, behind your prayer closet. Come on, your prayer closet is driving. Oh, Sakarabasara, looking out, waiting. Who's my next victim? Come on. Hey, knock them down and then go pray for them. No, don't do that, sorry. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to do this tag team kind of thing. And we're just going to take it up to the next level. And then tonight again, it's going to go up again. It's just going to be explosive. If you want smallness, we'll kick that smallness out of you. We'll give you a holy slap. Oh, Jesus, wonderful, wonderful. I was coming back from Singapore and just got on a plane, and there was this guy just beside me, a South American guy. He looked South American, and I says, what's your name? He said, Carlos. I says, where have you come from? He says, India. I says, what were you doing in India? He says, I was doing yoga. I wanted to tease him. But because I'm a polite pastor... Whoosh! He says, I was studying yoga and I'm going to Australia to teach it. I said, okay. I says, I'm a pastor. In a few weeks' time, this happened a few years ago. In a few weeks' time, we're having a meal in our church. Will you please come? 2 days before the meal, I ring him up. I says, Carlos, please be on time because I know South American people. They're pretty late, same as, you know, some other nations kind of thing. And I preach an awesome sermon that day. Yes. Say amen! Amen! That's better. That's better. And so Carlos didn't come, unfortunately. But after the meal, as I was fellowshipping and eating away, I see Carlos, his wife, and his daughter come in. And so I wanted to really give him some anointing with that holy slap, you know. But because I'm a polite pastor, say amen. Hallelujah. I invited them, sat down at the meal, served them the meal. And then after the meal, I asked his wife, I says, if Jesus was sitting here, what could he do for you? She said, Pastor, 20 years ago, I was in an aeroplane. In my mind, I've got this polite pastor smell, a smile, you know. But in my mind, smell as well. In fact, sometimes when I forgot my deodorant, instead of praying for people, I just lift up my hands. It's quite biblical because he says, 1,000 will fall at your side, 10,000 at your right side. So lift up this, like, you know, 1,000, 10,000, whoosh! Osakarabasi. And anyway, so she said, you know, she told me she was in a plane. I thought, in my mind, I thought, big deal, I was in a plane 3 weeks ago. She obviously looked at me and kind of confused, and she said, Pastor, you don't understand. This plane was in South America, 127 people on board, and it crashed, and four survived. 123 died. Obviously, she was one of the survivors because I don't speak to the dead. She said, for 20 years, I can take morphine, the strongest medication the doctors will give me, and I still feel the pain full on. Out of my big mouth comes these words, watch what Jesus is going to do. And then I panic. Because this mouth sometimes, you know, it just... Whoosh. You see, we've got to learn to be reactive in the supernatural first. Not to say, oh dear, that's a pity. Remember what Seth was teaching us, what we've been saying? The first reaction has to be supernatural. Let me say it one more time. The first reaction, the first response has to be supernatural. If not, the filters of our eyes and ears will decipher a message, say, oh, poor you, poor you. Forget the smallness, forget the poor you. Let's say what Jesus said. Jesus never ever says, oh, poor thing, you poor widow. Elijah never said it. Elisha never said it. None of the others said it. We shouldn't say it as well. Even when, I'll come back to that story, even when sometimes we use words, you know, I know we want to give compassion to them. I know we want to empathize with them. But the Bible says very clearly, when you yoke yourself together with the unbelieving, unbeliever. You know, we have many unbelieving believers. Let me try it one more time. We have many unbelieving believers. And they will say what the natural is, and you can't yoke the natural with the supernatural. You can't yoke salt water and fresh water. You can't yoke darkness and light. We cannot agree with that. If the doctor says, oh, you're going to die, you're not going to say, yeah, okay. Because then you start dying. As long as you receive that word in you, you start dying straight away. And so I said to this lady, watch what Jesus will do. And then I said, okay, now I've opened my mouth in front of my congregation. Now I have to do something. So I just laid my hands very lightly on her. She was sitting down, prayed the prayer. She said, amen. I said, amen. She said, amen. She thought it was finished. I said, now, will you please stand up? Now she stood up very gently because she's got pain 24/7. I says, will you do what I do? So I put my hands on my hip. And I says, let's do the hula hoop. You know? And she did it very, very slowly, swaying very gently. And a smile develops. I says, do it harder. Harder, harder, harder. Absolutely healed. In 20 seconds or 30 seconds. Hallelujah! What the doctors couldn't do in 20 years. The boss. The CEO of Earth. The managing director, which you are employed by. Hello? He did it just like that. Just takes one donkey.
Hallelujah.
Wonderful. Jesus wants to do more. I think we've just got to, I know this, we've just got to do it, declare it. I was in Orlando, Florida, and just name dropping because the other boss here, he was name dropping Germany and all that. I thought I better throw in one of the, you know what I mean? You know, there's a competition here, don't you know? So I was in Orlando, you know, Seth. Oh, you see, he's so impressed. Almost falling over. Anyway, preaching in a South American church, you know, and the pastors never met me before, just introduced by a friend. And so when it came up to my turn, I said my hello, and I tried to think, and all the men were. So I said, "All you men, you're hypocrites." And the pastor, he was about to come and take the microphone off me. I said, "Oh, just a minute. Men, you're all hypocrites." I says, because this afternoon, I says, the ladies, they're so extravagant, so emotional. I says, "Men, this afternoon, when Argentina is playing football with with England, you're going to be, go!" But you come to church, you're like a church mouse. And then they started laughing. And then it broke the ice. And I'm able to minister for about 4.5 hours. See, God wants you to break through with men at a different level. In one sense, we've got to learn from ladies, you know. They're setting the examples. I love ladies. I mean, don't tell my wife that. But we've got to learn from them how to release our emotions, because we've been trained the wrong way. Grown men don't cry. Strong men don't cry. We've got to break that mold, break those words that entered in here. Anyway, to cut a long story short, amazing miracles happened. The next week I was in a very small church, about 33 people, but still half of them got healed. And then they took me out for a meal. And we went out for a meal. And after the meal, as we were coming out, this Afro-American lady was limping. So I went up to her. I says, "I'm a pastor from America, from Australia." I says, "What happened to your leg?" She said, "One leg is 4 centimeters shorter than the other leg." I says, "No problem." Again, this mouth opened up. I says, "I'm a pastor." I said, let's pray for you. So I took her shoes out because there was a mended heel. And so took her, put her feet together, prayed. I said, "Jesus, you know, just prayed the prayer." And her legs just grew. I mean, the sound is my own sound, right? You understand that? And then after that, I told her to just walk up and down. It happened so quickly that the pastor didn't have time to take his phone out to record the video, because it happened. And so I was jumping all about, and people walking around, just because I'm excited. Jesus is doing things on the streets. Hallelujah. That's our inheritance, friends. If you want to clap, clap properly. Glory, glory, glory. Amen. Last 2 years ago, I think it was in the national convention in England, I was the speaker there, again name dropping. In FGV, but a couple came to me. They says, "Can you pray for our grandson?" I says, "No problem, bring him here." He says, "He's not here. He's at home. He's in the hospital. He's in ICU, intensive care unit." I says, "What's happened?" He says, "Last night he had 3 heart attacks. I says, "How old is he?" He said, 2 months old. I says, "Tell me the story for a moment." He says, "He was born 2 months premature. And last night at 2 months old, he had 3 heart attacks. I says, "No problem, let's pray." And I think I took a handkerchief and prayed and released that. 3 days later, they met me. Devon, D-E-V-E-N, Devon is the name of the grandson. He says, when we went there, we laid the handkerchief on. They did another scan at some stage after that, 24 hours after that. Number one, there was no evidence of any heart attacks. This young boy had been born with 75% of his brain there, 20% was vacuum, was empty, absolutely empty space. But after the prayer, which I was a couple of hundred miles away, 300 kilometers away, after the prayer, his full brain 100% was there. Hallelujah. 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 Jesus is doing some amazing things, and he's waiting for you and me to be on that. And this weekend, thanks to you and thanks to the whole committee, this weekend, we are poised. Remember that ready, set, go? We are poised. We are in position to receive more. Receive that turbocharge. I'll do it again. It was so quick. Remember when you press that turbo button? Huh? You got an injection of fuel, injection of power. That's what's happening this weekend. Friends, I beg you, don't be just saying, I've had enough. I've had three meetings where they prayed for me. You know, I've got more fingerprints on me than the FBI. I don't care who lays hands on me. You know, I just want more. John Arnott from Toronto says this. He says, always be thirsty for more. Be humble, be thirsty. God will always sniff the humble heart. God will always smell the thirsty man, the thirsty woman, the thirsty child. Where's young Daniel? Is that young Daniel here? So awesome. Young Donovan is here. Young Daniel is there. I'm so glad for these young men. These are new members. These are potential members. They're going back to their schools. Hallelujah. Thanks for coming, guys. Thanks for coming. Some awesome things. Hallelujah. Did I complete my story? Yeah, I think I did. Wonderful Jesus. Isn't that good? Oh, sure. I'm so impressed with my own drawings, you know. I mean, if Picasso was here, he would buy them. See how one side's slightly bigger? That's okay. Shokoro Sara. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 says this. Above all things, guard your heart. For out of it flows the wellspring of life. One more time, chapter 4, verse 23, Proverbs. Above all things. And Seth has studied the Greek, you know, all means all. Yeah. Above all things, guard your heart. For out of it flows the wellsprings of life. So let's just draw then. A well. And beneath that, we're kind of going to draw the river of God. What is supposed to happen more and more. Wonderful Savior. Okay. That's good enough. What is supposed to happen is that it's supposed to flow the river of God, R-O-G. River of God is supposed to touch our hearts and then flow out. River of God flows out of our heart. Because the Bible says, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth will speak. Not just the mouth, but the mind will think. We can see different out of the river. This is a well, this black stuff. And the Bible says this. Let me just read it to you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Psalm 1, verse 3. He says, he is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yield its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither, whatever he or she does prospers. So out of that, on both sides, out of the overflow, flows the river where the tree of life is. Let me read to you from Revelations, just building up a foundation here. Revelations, chapter 22. Then the angel, or then the messenger, showed me the river of the water of life. Revelations chapter 22. As clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, down the middle of the great street of the city, on each side of the street, on each side of the great street of the city, stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the trees are for the healing of the nations. Friends, I want to suggest to you, I want to tell you, that out of your heart flows life, the river of God, in and out, so that the trees, the tree of life, can be a healing to the nations. It's such a powerful picture that we need to keep in our minds. The only problem is, because we live in the world, we have this knack of developing problems. Engineers have a knack of solving problems that already been developed. And so we put restrictions on the natural and the supernatural. And we kind of put some barricades there. I'll name one or two, and then I like you to help me. Not about you guys, not about FGB. It's about the church that Seth spoke about, the other one. So I've got problems like that easily affect me, easily influence me. Things like, don't look so holy at me. Come on now. Stress, anxiety, worry, all English words, says death by strangulation. It's true. Pressure. These type of things will shut that river down. Because I live by faith, and you know, always finances is always a challenge. I want to get stress. I want to get Seth to pray for me for these things. I love it when he prays for us, you know. Because when he turns around, and then he prays. Holy Spirit! You don't see that? Watch that. Just one more for me. Or at least one more. Family. And family's problems. And what the family says sometimes. Can you name me one or two? No, not about you, not about your family, but about others. Sorry? Oh, you holy one of Israel. I salute you. Come on! Pardon? Not fair. Okay. The fairness. Expectations. Pardon me? Fighting. So let's put quarrels of all kinds. Anything else? Yeah, okay, let's put wrong priorities. Okay? Jealousy. Now, that's a good one. Jealous. Unrighteous envy. Okay? Because sometimes jealous. Oh, no, we're not jealous. Unrighteous envy sounds better. Okay. Anything else? Unforgiveness. Wow, now we're starting to flow. Come on now, pride. Control. Let's put control, manipulation, domination. Anything else? Envy, yes. We've got envy. Anger. One more time, please. Idle, being idle. Okay. Let's call it wrong priorities. Okay. Yeah, idle is good. Addictions of many kinds. Okay. Any more? Oh, that's a good one. Fear. Fear of many kinds. Fear of authority. Fear that we're not supposed to talk in church. Or laugh in church. How about this one then? Traditions. Why do you follow the traditions of the elders, not the commands of God, Jesus himself says? Ooh. Okay, one or two more. You're doing great. You're doing great. You're the top class. I've taught this around. You're top, man. Come on. Greed. Okay. Greed. Okay, that's, I can't spell that, so I better put just covered. Idols. Ooh. Idol is anything that separates you from God. Anything. TV, Facebook, anything like that. One more, please. Legalistic. Okay. Anything else? Being negative. Now, that's a powerful one. It's a powerful force, being negative. Shall we add being critical? Is that okay? I mean, none of you here, but I just remember that, you know. Critical. Okay, a few more then. Judgmental. Apathy. Now he's starting to flow. Doubt. Uh-huh. Unbelief. Okay, let's call it self-reliance. Your word is good, don't worry, but self-reliant. Okay, lack of love. Rejection. Okay. Unforgiveness. Yes, very good. Hatred. Rebellion. Being, yeah, okay. Being critical, being, yeah. C-Y-N-I-S-M. Okay. Phew. I could spell that. Pardon? Neglect. Oh, yeah. I didn't have that in my notes. Neglect. That's good. That's good. That's good. That's really good. Original. Come on, a few more then. Just a few more. Family curses. Family issues. Okay. Curses of many kind. Gossip. Oh. The Bible calls it unwholesome talk. Okay. Gossip. Hate. Yes, we have that. Wonderful. Thank you. Offense. Oh, yeah. Offense. Now you can see it's starting to block up that river. And the reason I get you to do it after giving this example is then you can say, whoosh, I'm not the only one. I'm not the only one of these things. I've got all of them. You see, the good thing is, as we put these things up here, we'll say, maybe I'm not so bad after all. Maybe I am really saved. Maybe there's hope for me yet, you know. You see, the good thing is, we see it, we visualize it, and then we can get rid of it. Now, can I just tell you something? I just felt this earlier on. When the anointing comes and you're on the floor, don't get up quickly. I know we have a fear that somebody's going to fall on top of us. I know that. That's why we have two catches. And in spite of having two catches, somebody kicked me. Maybe they thought I looked like a football. Thank you very much! But somebody fell on me and kicked me or something like that. Big deal. You get a little bit of a bruise. And I saw what? I mean, but the thing is, the anointing was upon me. And I didn't want to get up. Oh, by the way, Brother Seth and wonderful people, I had this pain in my wrist and whatever it is. You know, the natural mind says, cool, you're 48 years young, 58 years young. Just take off 20 years. Anyway, and I thought, you know, maybe arthritis or something, and I kept coming against rebellion and kept coming against bitterness, because 80% of arthritis is actually, root cause is bitterness. Let's put bitterness down here. And I can't think of anybody that I'm bitter with. I can't think of anybody I haven't forgiven. But I've been thinking about these things, this pain every now and then. And then Brother Seth came to... fell down there, and I felt my finger moving, just my finger moving at times, and that pain's no more there, completely, absolutely gone. I never even asked God for it. All I wanted was the anointing from the man of God. The man was preaching. I want what he has. I want more. I want him to slap me into shape, because he's my elder brother. Hello? I don't care who prays for me. I just want more. I just want more. I'm thirsty. What I have is not enough. Come on, David.
Amen.
What I have is not enough.
Amen.
I want more. There's more to do. My family says to me, Dad, why are you going away after only 1 week, Dad? My wife says, darling, I want you to stay a little bit longer. I've only been home for 4.5 weeks since January the 16th. Only 4.5 weeks. I says, I've got this compelling... And I says, I love your voice. I love you telling me to stay. But I hear another voice at my heart. And he says, whom shall I send? And I says, Eo! Eo! Interpretation, because I have the gift of interpretation. Here I am, Lord. Here, send me, because I hear his voice in here. Do I hear a physical voice? No. But I hear him say, who will go? I don't have money, you know, I use that Visa card. And then the money comes at the last second. I wish it wasn't the last second kind of stuff. This guy came to me in Malaysia, and he wanted to take a photo with me. I thought, Yoshakarabaso. Am I looking like Omar Sharif or something? You know, Gone with the Wind. Curry-flavored wind. Stop it! No! I will not be rude in this convention. And he took a photo with me, so I just complied with him. You know, I'm not bothered about photographs and names and stuff like that. But he took a photo with me, and he says, do you want to know why I took a photo with you? I said, yeah, because I'm cool. He says, no. He says, I was watching your DVDs, and I died. I thought, don't you say that my DVDs are not that bad. He says, no, Pastor Cool. He says, I had a fatal illness, and I was watching it, and I died. And when I died, your videos were still going around in my head. I says, whoa, take five. I says, you died, you physically died, kaput, gone with the wind. He says, and my videos were, he says, your principles that you were teaching in the video still going around in my head. And I spoke to God in my death in that time. He says, God, I want to come back. If you let me come back in my body, number one, I will witness for you 24/7. Number two, I will witness for you. I will work for you full time and full on. Number three, I will take a photo with this pastor. I've never met him before. God did all three, obviously. God enabled him to do all three. He's still preaching the gospel today. By the way, I've got some DVDs and stuff at the back over there. And this one, it's Lisa here. I want to give this to Lisa. It's about marriage. It's called Flowing with the Holy Spirit. It's a wrong title, because the second part of the seminar was about flowing with the Holy Spirit. But the first part was about marriage. Is Sheldon here? Sheldon, Lisa, this is for you. I decided last night that I wanted to give that beautiful couple. I give them a hand. Did you see her dance today? Woo! Bless you. Bless you. Amen. So that's called flowing with the Holy Spirit. Anybody else about to get married? Son, daughter about to get married? Somebody's pointing somewhere. Lawrence? Your son? You are! Woo! Shakaraba sakarago! Anybody want that testimony? I've got my testimony. It's not very clear, but I've got my testimony to give it away to your family. That first one, you get it. Hallelujah. And this book, just the person who distributes this book is my friend. And it's about this young boy. He was 11 years old when he died in an accident where his dad was driving the Range Rover, something like that, one of these strong cars, you know. His dad was driving. His mom was the former Mrs. World or something like that in the beauty pageant, and the two there. And he died and he went to heaven. And Jesus started speaking to him. And then when he came back, his voice box had shut down. And so he just asked for a pad to start writing the messages. So half the book is about him writing, and the other half is about his mom writing the story. How she had to go through forgiveness because she blamed her husband. You know, unconsciously, she had forgiven the husband, but deep inside the bitterness started growing. And it's an awesome book. And I use the finances I get from these to travel in my ministry. So this is for your wife. This is Dorothy, right? Deborah. And this is for Linda. God bless you. Hallelujah. And then I have the other thing is some bracelets out there. And it's for a Borneo project. And this is what's happening. In Borneo, it's hard to give the gospel out. And so instead of doing it individually, we are sponsoring a whole river. He says, that's crazy. What are you sponsoring a river for? The river has rare tropical fish. And so we are teaching the villagers, if you take care of this river, rather than putting the sewage and all the rubbish inside, if you take care of this river, we will sell the fish for you. The fish will bring income. You see, if we go in there and plant a church, it will not work. Will you come forward, Daniel? And so, I want you to stand up here and show the people this bracelet. Thank you for being so good. Right. Now, you've got to go and find a beautiful person and give it to them. Give them a big hug, and then afterwards, take one for yourself again, okay? One, two, go. Go for it. And bless them. Give them your biggest smile. Don't give it to a man. Hallelujah. Let's give Daniel a hand. And so if we plant a church, they will not be interested. But if we take care of the river and give them the finances slowly, first year we only give them 20%, and then we increase to 30%, and then the rest of the money we build toilets, we teach them about sanitation, we teach them about health, then we build a health clinic over there. And then we equip doctors to go over there. And then once they see that, and then we put social services in there. And then we put the schools in there, or classes, not really schools, classes. And then lastly, we put the church in there. Because now they're already Christians. We've already discipled them. We call them pre-believers, and we already discipled them so that we can equip them. In India, I do the same thing. I finance the gospels by giving a cow or a goat, or buy some chickens and give it to the pastors. I do that in Borneo, I do that in Indonesia, I do that in India, and I live by faith. You see, because God's used me many times, I really feel like doing something on finances tomorrow. Not for me, but for the kingdom. And our kingdom here, as far as we're concerned this weekend, is full gospel. So if you can please allow me to take a special offering, 100% of it will go to the full gospel tomorrow. Okay, I'll try this side. Full gospel in New Zealand. That's what we want. Because this is not about if you can have any coins left in your purse. We'll tell you some stories. Once again, me and Seth will do this tag theme kind of thing. It will be explosive. Because, you know, the Bible does say the silver and the gold are his. Okay, not Seth, but anybody else. And not the preachers. But can you tell me where that's from, please? I kind of... Wow, that's not bad. Chapter? The one after one. After chapter one. Yeah, chapter two, you're so good. And before that, it says this. Once again, I will shake the heavens and the earth. Oh, we don't like the shaking bed because we like to be comfortable. He says, and then he says, the kettle on the thousand, the silver and the gold are mine. Then he says, you know, very powerful. Very powerful. You've got to read that once more again. And anyway, we'll speak about the financial thing tomorrow. We're speaking about the river of God today, right? Yeah. We're speaking about the river of God today, right? Yeah. Yo! Almost having revival here. Anything else over this last couple of things? Depression. Disappointment. Oosha. What about impure thoughts? Not you guys. What about dismay, sadness? Isn't that so easily? The sin that so easily entangles you. Well, technically, these are all sins, technically. Hey, the sin, the trappings that so easily entangles you, Hebrews says. Being judgmental. How about this? Just tired. Seen it all before, done it all before. Let the younger people do it. Give it to Sheldon. Give it to somebody else. I'm just wanting to retire. Think of Hawaii. I really wanted to bring my Hawaiian skirt, you know. But then you men would love my legs. Shakara, being fatigued, tired so easily. I still run. Not because I like running. I think running is so boring. I've got my headphones on, and some of you have seen me walking the last few days. I think running is boring. I think walking is boring. I think swimming is boring. But I do that to keep this body in shape. Because very soon, it's going to be revival for 3 months. Graham Eagle will preach for 2 hours. I preach for the next 2 hours. Seth preach for the next 2 hours. It's 24/7 for 3 months. You've already heard the testimony. Then Noel will preach. Beth will preach. David will preach. Because it's continuous. One of these days, our passports are going to go away. They're going to take it off us. And so the Holy Spirit will... He'll take us to places where the passport won't allow us to go. He will. It's coming very soon. I'm in training now. This is preparation mode. The anointing I have now is nothing compared to what's coming. Round the corner. Round the corner, even this weekend. Already been touched powerfully. That's not enough. I'm desperate. I'm not desperate. I'm a fanatic. I'm not a fanatic. I'm over the top, over the top, over the top. And I want more. Yeah. I want more. I don't mind this weekend, whether it's Seth or whether it's you, whether you slap me into shape, kick me into shape. I just want to get into shape. Oh, come on. Don't look so holy at me now. Just one or two more before we start flowing here. Fears, phobias of many kinds. What about this? Busyness. Business with family, business with career. Self on the throne. Yeah, 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 yeah. A chair. Side view. Who's sitting on the chair? Is it self? Every decision from now on that goes through this and goes through this has to be Christ's work, Christ-like, Christ's stewards, Christ's anointing. What Seth said is absolutely true. That word Christ is the word Christos, the anointing. So many times, churches all over the world get it wrong thinking Christ is the surname. Never was. Means the anointing. From now on, every decision going through that. What about one or two more, very quickly? Careers, we've mentioned that. Unknown purposes. Not knowing where to put your passion. I mean, I love soccer. I love all the games. I love the snooker. I used to wear my classes at university and put a snooker cue down my leg, you know, and said, "Teacher, excuse me, lecturer, I have to go out and go out. My snooker cue is right down here." And all my friends used to laugh because they were going to come 10 minutes later and go and play snooker for 3 or 4 hours. And when I got radically saved, I put it all on the altar. I love my garden, you know. I've got a very small garden. I do my apples and oranges and peaches and all that stuff. Vegetables, chilies and all that veggies. Every time I go away, I come back and they're kind of dying. Because I don't have a watering system. I love my garden. But I love Jesus more. I love my girls, you know. I love my girls. 29 years old and 24 years old. But I love Jesus more. I love my wife, you know. 34 years I've been married to her. This July, 34 years. Hallelujah. Maybe come to New Zealand for a second honeymoon, eh? I promise you I won't wear my skirt. But I'm going to Scotland in August. I'm going to buy a kilt. And next year when I come back, amen of Scotland. Yeah, rakata sokorobosa. Fit like the new is near. Being self-reliant. Friends. Seth is about to come up in a few minutes. I can feel it. I can feel it. This river. We need to clear this stuff. This is rubbish that's been washed by the blood. Jesus himself paid the price. And for me, my kids died. My kids died. So that this culprit can turn around his life and follow the master. They died so that I can live. The devil didn't take them. Medical science didn't take them. Jesus, God didn't kill them. They died because they used up their time, their use by date. 12 hours old. You know, you buy the milk and it's used by such and such a date. They were supposed to live for 12 hours. And the second one for 36 hours. So that this man can change his life. Because they died. Same way as Jesus died for me. Thousands. I'm not exaggerating. Friends, please. I'm not into this exaggeration thing. Thousands are being saved. Thousands upon thousands are being healed. Because my life has changed around. I'm saying it's not my will, but your will. You must increase and my decrease. Here, the river must flow out of us. It must flow out of us to reach a dying generation. They are waiting for the leaves which are the healing to the nations. And out of overflow from New Zealand, Tasmania and Melbourne and the rest of Australia can be touched. Why don't you take up your mantle? I just want to read to you one thing, and I'm going to pass it over to Seth. Here's my conclusion. Here's my dedication. Here's my maybe you've heard this before. It's called the Fellowship of the Unashamed. The Fellowship of the Unashamed. I am part of the Fellowship of the Unashamed. The die has been cast. The decision has been made. I have stopped. I have stepped over the line. I won't look back. I won't let down. I won't slow down. I won't back away. My past is redeemed. My present makes sense. My future is secure. I'm finished and done with low living, sight walking, small planning, smooth knees, colorless dreams, tamed visions, mundane talking, cheap giving, and dwarfed goals. I hear at least 20 amens. Thank you. I no longer need preeminence, prosperity, position, plaudits, popularity. I don't have to be right. I don't have to be first. I don't have to be top. I don't have to be recognized. I don't have to be praised. I don't have to be regarded, not rewarded. I now live by faith. I lean on His presence. I walk with patience. I live by prayer. I labor with power. 20 amens. My face is set. My gate is fast. My goal is heaven. My road is narrow. My way is rough. My companions are few. My guide is reliable. My mission is clear. 40 amens. I cannot be bought, compromised, detoured, lured away, turned away, deluded, delayed. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifices. I will not hesitate in the presence of the adversity. I will not negotiate at the table of the enemy. I will not ponder at the pool of popularity. I will not meander in the maze of mediocrity. I won't give up, shut up, let up until I've stayed up, stored up, prayed up, paid up, spoken up for the cause of Christ. I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. I must go on till He comes. Give till I drop. Preach all I know. Work till He stops me. And when He comes for His own, He will have no problem recognizing me. My banner is clear. I am part of the unashamed. My days and the times of unauthentic, insecure, hypocritical Christianities are over. I am part of the unashamed. Let's give the Lord a hand.
Whenever the river flows and something comes that's a blockage, you get a swamp. And swamps stink. And where the river is supposed to be flowing and this blockage comes in, there's a whole lot of junk and a whole lot of... And sometimes people say, it's a swamp, it's a swamp, it's a swamp. And there's no life there and it's all just disgusting. And there's some people here and it seems like your life is a bit of a swamp. And it's just like there's this... there's this blockage. Well, we had swamps on my farm where I was working. It wasn't my farm. I worked on the farm. And of course, as I said, high explosive is God's gift to every teenager. And we were there, and I was, had the bulldozer, and we'd do some stuff. But I just went, I knew what to do. The same as what's going to happen in just a few moments.
Yes.
And so I got a half a stick of jelly, and I put it there. And I came along, and I put a half a stick of jelly there. And I came and put a half a stick of jelly there. And I came and put a half a stick of jelly here. And I put the fuses there, because it's much more fun when it's the old sort of fuse, you know. And I lit the fuse, and along it comes out. And hit the first one, boom, out comes jealousy. Boom, remember the Holy Ghost is dynamite. Boom, out comes the blockages. And in just a moment, it doesn't matter what those blockages is, the power of the Holy Ghost is going to blow stuff apart. And guess what? And guess what? If you do it the hard way with the shovel and the you're left with all this mounds of stuff all over your farm. But do it the high explosive way, and it was gone. It was just gone. And your paddocks were clean, and everything was clean, and it just grew, and the river flowed. And so stand with me, please. Whoa, sure, cool. It's time for high explosive. And wherever there's a swamp in your life, you right now prepare your heart and say, God, I'm putting some dynamite in there. I'm making room for that dynamite. I'm making room for that dynamite. Oh yeah. Oh, that bitterness. Oh, that. You know what? Rejection is only as big as you make it. I'll say that again for somebody. Rejection is only as big as you make it. And do you know what? It's impossible for me to offend anybody.
That's right.
Because no one can offend you. You choose to take offense. You choose to take offense. And you just bring a blockage in. But it's time. It's time for the Holy Ghost power. Whoa. And there are no damp squids with the Holy Ghost power. So right now, why don't you just lift your hands? I've got to tell you a story about what happens when you lift your hands. Just stay it up. You know, sometimes it takes a bit of effort. But we had a Buddhist man come to our church. He didn't know a thing about it, except he was just a new immigrant. But he said, can you explain to me why when I lift my hands, there's this tingle that takes place? We said, yeah, because you're just tapping into the glory of God. He goes, oh, really? Okay, get saved, just like that, no problem. Oh, yeah, we're just tapping into you right now, Lord. We're just making room for that Holy Ghost power to come. We're making room for, and, whoa, shakapo shunda, amananda. You know what? I'm not being offensive to anyone, but I can never work out why some people, when God's moving, they go, well, I'm not sure if I want that, idiot. I'm very pastoral, as you can see. But you see, we pray, and then we decide, God, this is how you've got to do it. No. God, you're God.
Yes.
God, you're God.
Yes.
God, you are God.
Yes.
And so right now, Holy Spirit, we welcome you to come. And Lord, even right now, as you're just depositing in the strategic places where there's been blockages in lives, strategically you're just depositing, you're just preparing right now in these few seconds. You're preparing. And Lord, when we lay hands on them, I'm expecting you to light the fuse that will blow those things to smithereens, that every one of those things that was on that board, every one of them will be blown out, so the river will flow and the well will just go down until such time as it's permanently entrenched in the river of God. And there will be never a block, never a stop. In Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, we just say thank you. Holy Spirit, we say thank you that you are fire. Fire that comes along and it's hitting that power. And everything's going. So just come forward for prayer and let's just see what God does in the next few minutes. Come on. There's nothing to be ashamed about in a Holy Ghost meeting. We don't have to. What are they going to think about? They've got enough problems of their own without thinking about you. Whoa. Sure, cool, Sunder. Whoa. In the name of Jesus, we release the dynamite power.